We are here today talking Bitch the Film with the queen of catchy film titles, Mariana Palka, today on Popcorn Talk.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's I Talk Movie. Never break your
heart. I would only read. How sweet is this song?
It's the best song in the world.
Mariana coming with the great song selections. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Popcorn Talk for this very exciting episode of I Talk Movies. I am joined today by Mariana Palka. Welcome.
So excited to be here.
She's just writer, actor, director extraordinaire. We've known each other for a while. She's got like so much stuff going on. I'm so excited to talk about everything that is happening today. So, first of all, we had you here at AfterBuzz TV about a year ago.
It was about a year ago.
Before everything like blew up. It was crazy. Yes. And we were talking about Always Worthy, which was an amazing, lovely film. So you have to check it out when you get a chance. We're here talking about another film now that just released on the 10th. Mm-hmm. Bitch.
Yep. That's right.
Yes. So... So let's take a look at the trailer really quick before we even dive into it and just give everybody a little peek of what it even is.
Brilliant. Yeah.
I love you.
All right.
How
was
the day at work?
I'm so tired, Bill.
You don't understand. Oh, I don't know if we can keep it together.
Okay, stop.
Mom, can we go in this century, please?
Honey, we thought you'd be home. I postponed dinner as long as I could. There's a dog watching me.
Mom?
Is Jill with you?
No, why?
She's gone. Can you help me?
We found Mom.
Where is she?
Oh, thank God.
Mom is being a...
Someone tell me what is going on right now.
We have to show you.
Jill? Why isn't she answering?
It's kind of hard to explain.
Is there a medical term for this condition?
Behaving like a dog.
Is it the barking?
Dad, get up!
Let's drive to school. We're late!
Please, guys, I just need a minute of silence.
I don't have any underwear or socks on.
Can you figure out a way to pick my kids up?
What are the names of your kids' schools?
I don't know. Can you Google it?
Listen, got a little situation. She has no lunch.
There's actually a grocery store right down the street.
She has no lunch.
Okay.
Dr. Lindenwell, could you possibly come over here and look at my wife?
She needs comprehensive psychiatric care.
She's not going to a mental institution.
We don't have any food left. We're so hungry.
We're gonna be homeless and we're gonna get diseases and die.
No. This is a very bad time for me.
What is going on with your wife?
I have to be at work 18 hours a day.
Are you okay?
Oh, me? Yeah, of course. Fabulous.
Maybe Jill's doing you a favor. Maybe it's the life you're supposed to be living.
This is the life that I'm supposed to live? This is what it was all supposed to be. This is part of the big plan. You...
Hey, good evening, sir. I'm gonna need to see your wife.
She is in the basement. Little door on your right. Bring a chew toy.
And it is here.
Yeah.
It is no longer coming soon. It is here. Okay, Mariana. When I first was reading about this film and looking at like any bits of clips that were up, I was expecting something totally different than it actually was.
Cool.
Yeah, and when I watched it, I was like, this is like an intense psychological journey. I mean, the trailer has all the fun. There's a lot of hilarious, uplifting moments, but there's a lot of intense moments in it too.
Yeah. It's a thriller, but it's funny, but it's a thriller.
Yeah. Truly. Totally. So we kind of saw the trailer, getting an idea of this, but you wrote this.
Yeah.
You wrote this, directed it, starred in it.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about, from your point of view, how you even came up with this.
Well, I wanted to make something that was going to integrate, you know, a pro-marriage kind of message. And I wanted to, you know, a lot of my films have, all of my films actually have a kind of medicine in them. So I really wanted it to heal society. And using words to describe other people is really nice, but insulting other people is not great. So I wanted to comment and sort of subvert that word, and just have people be inspired to be better people and have better relationships and not call each other names. And also, it just came to me in this kind of moment. I was really inspired to do something very quickly because I wanted, like, I write scripts really fast. So I wrote this in 2 days over, like, a period of, like, 48 hours. Literally, I was in a hotel in Lake Tahoe by myself. Yeah, I had a lot of room service, very good food in Lake Tahoe.
From morning to night.
Just kept ordering food and, like, eating it and was fueled by the passion of knowing that no one had really made a movie about this subject matter before, but it was really necessary to see the wild feminine archetype in the mainstream in a way that's truly wild, you know, and free and just engaging and saying something. And it's really bringing left-wing America and right-wing America together. And it's really just got a lot of interesting dynamics all over it. And so, yeah, I mean, I was definitely excited that my friends wanted to read it. And my friend Bryce Howard was really adamant about how much she loved the story and how much she thought it was a valid script and a valid thing to be doing. And so it couldn't be more timely with everything that's going on with what we're all saying right now about, like, what it means to be a human being and how to be humanist and feminist and how to be a good man. I mean, Bill, the character that Jason Ritter plays, is essentially every American guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he would have voted for Trump, no doubt. And so the movie is really for a Republican white man, essentially. And most of the people who have watched our film who are Republican white men, like, come up to me after crying, being like, you changed my life. This movie means so much to me. You understand me.
Because it's incredible. It's about
reaching out to them. It's not being like, we're doing our thing over here and you guys can just be separate from us.
Right.
It's about being together.
Or, like, insulting and separating even further.
Yeah.
Not about that.
It's about really, you know, being together in a beautiful tapestry that is America and the rest of the world.
Yeah. Can we even go on? That was, like, so
if you have a problem with somebody, if someone's confused about anything, all they have to do is watch this movie, genuinely.
Yeah.
Donald Trump can watch our film and probably he'll cry.
Wouldn't that be...
The first real tear of his life.
Yeah, let's make a move to actually get that to happen, please. Please.
Oh my gosh.
Jason Ritter was a gem in this.
Isn't he a gem in this?
Like, so fantastic.
Oh, what a great actor.
I loved it.
A good working relationship because we have a really good shorthand with each other.
Yeah.
So it was really fun to work with Jason.
Yes, I know. You guys have known each other forever.
Yeah, since I was 17
babies.
Years old. Yeah,
babies.
We were babies, actually.
Yeah.
Emotionally, we were, like, really different people. And it's so cool to get to work over and over and over again with each other.
And this whole kind of message of having... having a lot more beneath the title of your film, just like this film, makes me think of Good Dick.
That's the
idea. And Jason was also in that.
That's totally the idea, because Good Dick was about a woman who's been sexually abused and how to
form
intimacy in that environment, you know?
Yeah.
And I read a statistic that 1 in 3 women were sexually abused at that time, you know, in America as children. So it made me, like, really upset, and that made me become a screenwriter because I just wrote the script out of that, like, frustration.
Was that your first script that you wrote? Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wrote it. And I sat down and literally wrote it, and then we made it very quickly after that. And the idea that, you know, the biggest thing that really happens in that film is that we figure out what intimacy is for her and how healing that movie is really for our generation, because we were all kind of being objectified at that time, you know, men and women, and it was kind of like a pro authentic characters movie, like a deep dive into what it really means to connect with somebody. And, like, the biggest thing that happens in that film is he washes her hair, because she's a little dirty, like, she doesn't wash a lot, and it's just a big deal. You're like, oh my god, he's washing her hair.
Yes.
So that's,
you,
like,
have
what?
Those moments, though, like those pivotal kind of breakthrough moments. That was, like, the moment in Good Dick. I felt like that moment in Bitch was when we get to the dog park.
Yes.
And Bill and Jill,
like,
are together.
Connecting with her, trying to connect with
her. On
her
level. Yeah.
I know, because you just feel for him in that moment, and he's being so brave and he's given it all up. I cry every single time
I
see
that
scene.
Super moving.
For different reasons.
Yeah.
It's like each time I see it, I'm just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Because I've never seen anything like that in a film.
Yeah.
And actually that stemmed out of, you know, our amazing team who made the movie, this company called Spectre Vision, Elijah Wood and Daniel Noah and Josh Waller. Everyone over there is incredible, like Lisa and Stacey, and they all have been so supportive, and they wanted us to do something that really kind of like fleshed out Bill as a character as much as mm-hmm. possible, and let us see him fully try as yeah. much as possible on in every way to connect with her and like do everything he possibly could. And mm-hmm. so yeah, that's why it's such a beautiful kind of scene, because it's this marriage of like all of our greatest minds, and they're better feminists than I am, to be real. Like they're better women. Josh
no.
Waller, you're a better woman than me. Elijah Wood is a great woman, and so is Daniel Noah. They're very nice men.
Mm.
And I also love that, especially right now, because my whole thing, I'm very passionate about good men, and I really believe in good men, and I yeah. really believe in good men making bad men better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my focus is right yeah. now, you know, in the world. But I want to know what you thought Bitch was going to be like.
Before
originally, because we should make that movie as well.
Oh, version 2, alternate ending.
Just figure out a new title for it, like totally. Another swear word title.
Yeah, no, I thought, what did I think? I did not expect it to be as intense. I did not expect it to be as psychological.
Yes.
And I didn't expect it to be such a journey for the man.
Right, you thought it was more the lady's story.
Totally a female-centric story.
Right, which is what kind of we talked a lot about. Like Elijah was thinking that Elijah Wood said to me, how amazing it would be if at the end of the film she, spoiler alert by the way, if she just walks away from him and is like, screw you. That's the, Elijah put it in this beautiful way at his house in Austin when we were talking about it. He said, you know, maybe the real feminist FU is that she just goes off by herself. And that is a beautiful film, right? And I think that that film has been made, you know, and I wanted to make something that was more pro-marriage and pro-love and you know, a movie that kind of believes in itself on that level.
That's how I was feeling at the end of it.
The ethical nature of, like, what it means to be in a relationship and be there for the other and, like, really, like, go through stuff together and recommit. That was the thing that, you know, I think that was the moment that really kind of, like, made us on a beautiful level as humans, made Elijah and I see each other as artists on this level. And then I, you know, I just love that we all got to do this movie together.
Yeah.
Like, it was the greatest people, honestly, so who made this film together.
That's so good. Yeah. That's the
and
best
Jamie
scenario.
King's performance. She looks like my sister in this movie.
Yeah, it's incredibly close. How did Jamie get involved in the project?
She read the script and, well, no, actually, that's a total lie. She.
Jamie King, by the way.
I never lie,
plays...
and I just lied. Jamie never really
plays,
read the script.
She just plays said, your sister in the film.
Who's got a major, amazing role because she kind of represents my character and sees my character very differently than Jason Ritter sees his wife. And so it's a beautiful thing because in the script they have a lot of opposition. And I told them, you know, because it's his sister-in-law and she's very left-wing and an artist and, like, very empowered. And he just kind of doesn't jive with her on, like, a belief system level. But also it's a power struggle, and in the dialogue there's so much like opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them to play, as a director I was like, you guys have to play the connection, which was really easy for them to do because we all love each other so much. But I like that nuance, you know, because they're going to be together forever. These characters are all going to be in the old people's home together, and I like to think about life on that level with those kind of stakes. Like, if you and I are going to be in the same, like, you're going to be in the room next to me in the old people's home, how do we treat each other between now and then, you know?
Yeah.
I really like that as a concept. Mm-hmm. And she basically, Jamie King, heard about it and said she wanted to do it without having read the script. She just wanted to work with me and was like, whatever Marianna's doing, yes. So that was mental for me because that was like the biggest compliment of my young life or my old life or whatever age I am.
Just life.
My entire life. Oh, yeah.
Have you been close with Jamie for a long time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I can't remember how we met. This is a funny thing about like my past life vibe with Jamie King. I just feel like we've known each other forever, but I think we met when I was like 18 or 19 or something, and she was doing her thing. I always respected her so much as an artist and as a woman, and she's a mom and she's such a great mom, and I just really respect her marriage so much because she and Kyle Newman are the best, and I dig them so much and their children. So it was really cool to be able to, you know, have a family friendly movie, and the set was very much about like the kids who were there.
Yeah.
Because the kids' performances are so epic.
So good. And this is this your first time working with like a crew of children?
Children.
Your, you know, your
My
children in the film?
My children. I love you. I love my kids.
They're all so adorable and Rio so Mangini talented. Is
so great. And he looks like my mom. Like, he plays my teenage son, but he looks like my mother. Half the reason why I feel like I was crying so much anytime he did anything was because he looks like our family. Like, he just literally looks like my niece, my mom, everybody. Because we all, in my family, like my sister, we all look the same. So, like, yeah, that was beautiful. And his understanding of what the journey of the characters were, like, he understood it, you know, like the teenagers understood it in a very deep way. Like Brighton Charbonneau, who plays Tiffany, my daughter, is just unbelievable in it, and she cries like so easily in this way that I feel like I've always been able to do as an actress. So I could, like, I just vibed her on that level, like just the way that she plays with her emotion, and it's just so beautiful. And and she got the script, you know, and we just kind of talked a lot as if they were grown-ups.
Yeah.
And likewise with the younger ones, Jason Maybaum and Kingston Foster, they're just very talented little munchkins and are able to do a lot of really amazing stuff. And I was able to, like, direct them in a very free way. I think that they were liberated by the concept that they weren't going to have to, like, you know, they had to know their lines and do the dialogue and do the blocking, but they didn't have to, like, be a certain way. They didn't have to
they
be
had
like,
some
this
freedom.
Is my line in a commercial and be pleasing. You know what I mean? Like, they could do how they would, they could react how they would react if this was happening to their mom, you know? So that, like, level of engagement inspired us as the grown-up actors. Like, I can remember talking to Jamie and Jason at one point and being like, these kids, like, are really deep diving into this film.
You're like, we better ramp it up.
They're committed. Like, they're seriously committed.
Yeah.
Like, they're making us look so good.
They're incredible. They're an incredible factor
to
this whole story.
And I definitely wanted, to answer your question, I definitely wanted to direct kids. That was, like, my number one, because I've had a relationship with my niece Tara for her entire life, and she's 15, and I take it so seriously. You know, I think that everything, that the way in which I love my niece is exactly the person that she's going to be when she's older.
So I
really, like, I'm meticulous about the way that I am with her, and I show her so much love, and I genuinely feel like expressing that love for her as an aunt made me a better director. And being able to direct these kids was just the same as kind of working with Tara on any level in anything, because she's really talented as an artist also. So it just felt like there was this kind of, like, language I developed. And Tara and her friends actually get dressed up in those animal costumes and shove. In the trailer, you see the kids, like, running into each other, kind of like sumo wrestlers, but they have these, like, animal,
like,
costumes
onesies.
On. And they've stuffed, like, stuffed animals into their onesies, and they're, like, jumping on each other. And that's a game that Tara plays with her little friends. And so that was my wee shout out to Tara.
Yes.
To be like, I love my niece. I love her.
It's for her.
Yeah, it's for her. This is for you, Tara.
I like, love
just in
it.
An American
has she
accent.
Seen?
She's read it, and she has seen bits of. Yeah, she saw it actually in London, and she was just so impressed with it, but also kind of moved. I think.
I mean, it's heavy. It's heavy too.
But it works for teenagers. You know what I mean? Like, they vibe it. They're just kind of like, cool, this is my emotional state right now. You know?
Yes, exactly. You can understand.
So I feel.
You can.
Like,
you can understand it on all the levels that it's being presented, right? Like, as the kid, you kind of see it, how they're experiencing it. As the mom, as the sister, as the husband, it's like you see it on that level. It's very, like, multidimensional that way.
Right. That's why I like that movie a lot.
Yeah. And, that's why. You know, what I love about it, too, is this is really not only is it about sort of the man, the husband's evolution in this scenario, but you talked about bringing this, like, feminine call back to, like, the wild side of just humans, human nature, human female nature, right? And this is so interesting because I feel like I was talking about this like around, like, Halloween time.
Oh yeah.
Where I was seriously like, in culture we always see all these, like, male driven Halloween characters, right? Like, vampires are all men, werewolves are all men. Where are all, like, the female werewolves and the you know, it's not as female driven. So in a way I connected to that so much, like, I love that this is a woman taking this journey and coming back to just, like, instinct.
Right. And the thing about that archetype, about the wild woman, is that we are used to it, you know what I mean? Like, our psyches are used to seeing it, you know, from back in the day. It's part of who we are as storytellers. When every human being is a storyteller, and so therefore it exists in everybody. And so it's not a surprise to put it out there. It's just that we haven't seen it recently.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just something that we have to really rely on. We have to dig back in
the archives. Yeah, because there's
something to be learned from the wild female archetype, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, I just went to the full moon with Kate Nash, my glow sister.
Yeah.
Who's so amazing. Kate Nash.
Yeah, so good.
We went to the moon and we were on the beach and we were just kind of like thinking, let's moon gaze or let's moon bathe or whatever, and then we ended up like taking our clothes off,
yes,
screaming at the moon,
yes,
naked and laughing, and just the sky was pink and we were pink, like our skin was pink, and it just kind of like
this
we
looked at each magical. Other
just being like, we're supposed to be doing this, you know?
Yeah,
it didn't feel kind of like cerebral, or it wasn't like we planned it, it was just like, oh, this is good. And that in essence is what Bitch is about, mm-hmm. and being allowed to do that,
yeah,
or feeling like you're not allowed to do that and doing it anyway is kind of what we're talking about right now. About, you know, when we're dealing with these things right now, with these allegations that are coming out about, like, sexual harassment.
Yes, all of what's happening in Hollywood right now.
It's the same conversation that Bitch is bringing up. It's the same thing. Like, how do we integrate, like, the male and the female energies within ourselves? It's like each individual needs to, like, have both to be a strong person. You want to be, like, masculine and you want to be feminine, you know? You want to have both. Mm. It's not about just having, like, one or the other. Yep. So I love that so much. Yes. It's such a cool time.
Yes. Okay, and before we move on, one last thing that I found super fascinating was you mentioned this in a line in the film.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about a Scottish doctor.
That's right, baby. Got to shout out to Scotland, babes. R.D. Lang, my man. He's dead now, but he's totally like an angel on my shoulder.
Oh, my God. As soon as I heard that, I immediately took to Google. Yeah. I'm like, okay, who's this? Is he real? Like,
he was pretty handsome, I have to say. Oh. He's kind of nice looking.
And not too bad in the brains department either.
It's really like, he's got a brain and he's attractive. Yeah.
So did he really have a case of a woman who went through something like this? Like, true talk. Mm. True talk.
Yeah, he did. And this happens all the time, too. It's not something, people becoming animals is something that the police department in America are very used to dealing with, you know?
I feel like I don't know that.
Me
neither.
That's
new to me. That's fascinating.
I was inspired by the R.D. Lang story about a woman in Scotland who this happened to. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to explore it in modern America and have that be what the script was about. But when I came to research it, the police department were like, yeah, that's a 5051. Happens all the time. We never know what to do. We never know if the person is conscious or not, whether they're there or not. We just say, like, it's a 5051. That's it. And so... but they've seen all kinds of animals, people being all kinds of animals.
Who knew?
A lot of the time.
Oh,
yeah,
my
God,
Mariana.
So it's one of those things that I find very fascinating because also, you know, I always harp back to one of my heroes, John Cassavetes, when he was talking about women under the influence. Mm-hmm. An interviewer said, like, oh, right, so General's character, like, she's crazy, right? Like, that character is crazy. And he was just like, no, she's not crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, he gets it.
He gets
it's like
it.
It's so simple to put in that category, right? Like, just crazy.
That's
crazy.
It. Like, that lady's crazy. But it's so much more interesting if you don't do that and you don't put a label on it and you just go, what is it? What does she think it is?
Yeah.
Like, let's talk to her and see what she has to say about it. Maybe she should be heard for a second.
Mm-hmm. Ooh! I love
or
it.
A few seconds or a century.
Maybe a second. All the seconds.
Loads of time.
Okay, so you have to check out Bitch. Bitch is out now. You can check it out on iTunes.
Yeah, let us know what you think of it. It's everywhere and it's coming to all these different cities. Like, we went to New York November 10th and November 15th.
Yeah, you were at Sundance this year for it.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year.
In London. So we were all over the place and now we're in all these different cities. And we come to Los Angeles November 24th in the cinema. So anyone who wants to watch it in a theater,
mark your calendars.
Yes.
Excellent. So, sort of like on a little bit of a lighter note, a very exciting thing that has happened in your career is that you have become a part of Netflix Glow, which like every person on the earth loves.
Oh my gosh.
There's like not a single person who does not like this show.
I can't believe I'm on this show. Let's be honest.
It is amazing.
Unbelievable.
So Mariana is playing Reggie.
Yeah, that's right.
AKA Vicky the Viking. Mm-hmm. When she finds her alter ego.
I know.
Oh my God. And so Glow is amazing. So Glow is Jenji Cohen, Orange is the New Black, Mind.
And Liz and Carly, who are just the dream girls of our lives.
Yes.
Yeah, they've just been so helpful. And they were really, they spearheaded it with Netflix in this way that made it about us being empowered and not about us being repressed. Mm-hmm. That's what the show is about. It's about empowerment.
It is so good. Have you seen the Glow documentary?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you guys haven't seen it, check it out. It's just, I think it's just called Glow, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
It's on Netflix as well.
And it's a documentary released in 2012.
Yeah.
And that was my first time I ever like knew about this. Same. And I remember watching that documentary back then when it came out and I was like, this is super interesting and fabulous. And these ladies are really interesting. So as soon as Glow, the TV show came out, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be huge.
I know, like the pioneers of everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really, so how did you...
Blazed a trail.
Oh, major trail. And this is like such good material. You can't write this stuff. This is like real. That's the thing.
Every time we get a script, we're like, oh my gosh, who wrote this? It's so genius. Like, what angels from heaven wrote this stuff? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's unbelievable.
The word was spoken from heaven. Heaven to the pen.
Like, right? They're like channeling it from like high above. You know?
It's so magical.
Yeah.
So how did you get tied in?
Our ancestors are just like, brr. We have something to say.
Yes.
I got tied in because of Jen Houston, who cast me on Girls. Because Jen knew me from ages ago in New York, and I actually had been doing a lot of plays in New York and stuff like that at the Atlantic Theatre Company when I was like 19. And the fascinating thing was I got Girls because I was wearing a bathing suit at this wedding, at Jeremy Connor's wedding, and Jenny Connor was there and we were talking and it was a macrame bathing suit, so it was pretty epic. And I feel like that's why I got the job on Girls 5 years later, because I looked like a wild woman.
You just made eBay macrame bikini sales go up right now.
I know, seriously. Like,
everybody's going to jump on.
I'm wearing one underneath this. Nice. Because I'm actually not, but...
Girl, macrame is the deal.
That's what we're going to do after this. Yeah. Is we're going to put our macrame bathing suits on.
That's right. Watch out for us.
Because this is a party right now. I don't know if you guys know, but this is an active party that I'm at.
Oh, very active.
But yeah, so what happened was because of Girls, Jenny Connor was like, if we ever need a sister for Jessa, it would be great for Mariana to play that character because she's Scottish and maybe they have different dads and... That would be so exciting. And I basically wear in season five, episode five, I basically wear the same outfit that I was wearing at the wedding. But I wear my kilt with it, my Amazing. Scottish kilt, which I love so much that my granny bought me when I was like 14.
Aww.
It's the same kilt. And so, what happened was because of that, I really loved Jen Houston. And I Twitter messaged her being like, yo, I know that Orange is happening. Would you consider me for any of those roles? Is anything coming up in Orange? Because I love Orange is the New Black.
And every season of Orange is the New Black, there's like new people, new characters,
amazing
new
women,
stuff.
Amazing like women doing stuff. And it's totally. Just beautiful. And so she messaged me back on Twitter and said that there wasn't, but I should check out when it comes out, the script for Genji's new show, Glow. And when I saw Glow... those words, when I saw those letters together, I just was like, that's my show. Yeah. Like, I had this, like, weird, like, blah, 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 like, moment in my life that I've never had before, where, like, the kind of dimensions, like, split apart, and I just was like, wait,
the tractor being was just, like, sucking you into Glow.
Wait a minute, like, beat me up or dead, because I'm feeling it right now.
I'm in it.
I was just so moved by life, and I had that kind of, like, sparkly vibe.
Yes.
And every time I thought about Glow or referenced it, I was just with positivity. It wasn't like, oh, I wish I could be on a show like that. Nice. Or like, I'll never get on that show. Or like, even if I try to get on it, like, it'll be like all these other things that I didn't get. And why would I try?
Yeah.
Why would I be enthusiastic? It wasn't like that. I just believed in it 100%. I talked about it like it was my show.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it on this level. And my sister and my niece were with me and they supported me and they took me to the auditions and stuff. And it just felt very in line with what I was meant to do. And I sat in that room every time I was in the audition and I just believed in everything and everyone and kind of gave more than I took. Do you know what I'm saying?
And this girl is like the power of manifestation. Like positive thinking.
It's in my bones.
She makes it happen. It's like
coming out of me like, oh my God.
It's impressive.
It's just manifesting all this stuff.
It's like out of her fingertips.
Yeah. It's like everyone who's watching this, whatever they want, it's just going to happen. It's just going to come through. That's it.
I mean, it's super impressive.
I just
super
felt like
impressive.
All these babies being born and people getting married.
Oh, it took
and, like,
a turn.
All the jobs. Somebody just got a job. ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, I think that there's something in that, like the thing that you're supposed to do, the thing you want to do the most, the thing that's right for you. You just have to keep going and keep going and keep going. And it's really just about believing and believing and believing. And it's not about like letting that go ever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about like keeping it real by being like, no, I'm actually not that good. It's like, no, you're good. You're great. Yeah. You're great. You're great. You know, it's not about like being too like self-effacing. And like really keeping it real is being everything that you possibly can be.
Yeah.
So therefore that requires a lot of work, you know, it requires a lot of internal work, which I was just using Glow to do. And they kept asking me questions and I kept saying yes. And I kept like standing in these rooms with them like over and over again, standing up straight, believing in this character, believing in myself. And I said to Liz and Carly when I met them and Genji in the room when I was in the callback, I said, you guys have made the best television. Thank you so much. And I was just excited to be there because it was like my kind of vibe.
Oh,
and
totally.
I didn't back down from that feeling. I didn't trip myself up on purpose. Mm-hmm. I was prepared because my niece did it 1,000 times with me. My niece read that those scenes with me 1,000,000 times.
Excellent.
So I had the power of the teens in the room with me. those magical angel teens. Because Tara has this like squad. My niece has a squad in Scotland that I just always feel very connected to.
Oh, I love that.
So rad.
The teen squad.
Yeah. They're love on it. Fire with life. Loving life. so that was all in the room with me. And I don't take it for granted, the situation or the position that you're in when you have an opportunity like that.
Yeah.
And I remember like one of my auditions a long time ago, like the reader was more enthusiastic than I was. The reader was like sweet and kind and like going like this all the time. And when I left the room, I was like, oh, I can do that. Like I can be like that in every audition. I want to do that in every audition. And I started doing that in every audition and just started getting like more stuff because it wasn't about me. It was just about the work and being there and excited for everyone else.
And just the energy.
Just the energy.
It does so much.
Yeah, because if you're sitting there being like, but I don't know about this one aspect of it. It's like, oh, dude, like, do we really want to hire this person?
Right.
Like, I want to hire people who are excited to work with me. It's just kind of like if you're going on a date as well. Like, you want to go on a date with someone who actually wants to go on a date with you. You don't want to go on a date with someone who's like, wait, I'm not into you. Like, why would you go on a date with that person?
You're like, great, so where are we going first?
Like, well, fun night this will be, man. Like,
can't wait.
Nice.
Let's get started.
How are we making out with each other if we can't even look at each other's faces?
Ugh, terrible. So
anyway.
Yeah. So coming into this project, you're with this fabulous crew of ladies.
My squad.
Tell me about just like your interaction with these girls and where you are at now coming into season two.
Well, we all were radically altered by doing season one. I think what happened to us is what happened to the characters. We got empowered. Mm-hmm. So whatever wasn't working for us was thrown away. Anything that was not like anything that wasn't serving us got shed. Mm-hmm. Any insecurity, any like former trauma, any like lack of belief from a person who was in our past, any question or cerebral like thing, like all of that was just gone. And we just had belief in each other because that's literally what I feel like they hired in me is my belief in myself. Mm-hmm. And it's not really about like, do you know the lines or are you think you have to be prepared? But it's like, if you just are having a good time, it's so infectious and wonderful. Yeah. And like, that's what we were doing. It's 14 women having a great time with each other. And it's not about the people who are running that show, it's not about their egos. And from the top down, it's not about anybody's ego. It's all just everybody trying to make the best TV possible. Yeah. And it's kind of groundbreaking. So to be together in this groundbreaking kind of like pod that went into outer space, that was season one, genuinely was the greatest gift of our lives. And people on the show, like Kimmy and Rebecca, their moms, and they were going to give up acting before they got Glow. And just stuff like that, you know, like Allie, who's so amazing on the show, like she sent a tape in because like she sent a tape in. It's not like they were like, oh well, let's get Allie to do this because we know Allie can do it. Like Allie sent in a tape. Mm-hmm. And so I love,
along with like all the rest who probably sent in their tapes.
Yeah. And I love also working with Chavo because he's our wrestling trainer, so we do like a month of wrestling before we do wrestling training before we do the show. So that changed our lives
totally. And that's the thing, because arguably in this show your physical action is as important or more important than the lines themselves.
It's
right,
the whole thing.
Yes, it's the whole package. So your trainer, I mean
Chavo Guerrero, who's the master of life basically. He's like our Yoda. He's a wrestling genius.
Love
but
it.
He's also just such a great guide. Mm-hmm. He really cares about us as individuals.
Yeah.
And he's such a kind man, and as a wrestler he's very strong and he's won a lot of stuff. But he also knows how to, like, really be graceful when he doesn't win. And he also, like, gave me the ability to know that if someone is, like, coming at me and it is a bad person, then I don't have to think that that person is good. Or I don't have to go, wait, should I be angry with this
don't
person?
Don't question it, yeah.
Should I, like, maybe I should be the peaceful one and just, it's like, you know, if someone has a knife to your throat, like, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. You're going to, like, defend yourself and you have to be more important than the bad guy coming at you.
Yeah.
And it, like, really kind of, like, changed every cell in my body when he said stuff like that to us. You know, like, he said stuff like that to each person. He says stuff like this every day. I mean, this is just Chavo. Like, this is him on the daily. It's not like he's saying this, like, once a year. It's like he says it all the time. And he says stuff like, you girls need to be with people who deserve you, who deserve your friendships, who deserve your relationships. And that's a really key element too. So everything has shifted for us. You know, I think that who we are as women, who we are in our personal relationships has just been completely altered. Because Shauna Duggins and Helena, who work with us as well, they're our stunt crew team and they're like in charge of how we do stuff. Mm-hmm. And as much as Chavo has impressed us and like made us better people, they've really made us better women because they're just so strong, you know, and they like do these crazy flips and they show us all these moves that we have to do. And they have these little like clips in their hair and you're like, are you guys going to break your clips? You know what I mean? Like, and they just like usually don't break their clip, even though they're like flipping around.
Oh my God. It's so impressive.
They're elven angel geniuses. Like, seriously.
From heaven. More things from heaven.
It's all from heaven.
It's all from heaven. Yes. Well, and that's the fascinating thing about this is this wasn't just written. I mean, this really happened in the 80s. There was this group of women who came together and like did this whole thing.
Yeah.
And they faced exactly the same adversity that, you know, exists today, unfortunately, where it's like, female wrestlers? What? Don't be ridiculous. Like, we're not getting behind that. And it turned out to be wildly successful and people loved it.
Yeah.
So that seems so appropriate that, like, for the trainer is not only teaching, like, you your physical moves, but really backing it up with that that confidence and that, that energy, you know?
Yeah. And when you are as powerful as you have to be in the ring, it takes a responsibility. Do you know? Like, you're looking after other people's lives, and there's something so empowering about that. It's not just like going to a yoga class. You're like, you changed a bunch of ladies' lives, and you didn't, you know, you saved them by holding their necks and taking care of them, even though you are the most aggressive thing in the world.
Yeah.
And I love that it feels like in the period of time that we made Glow and Glow came out, it feels like catcalling is just totally altered in the world. Because I used to get catcalled like constantly. And I didn't really know what to do about it, you know, because I didn't want to go like, screw you guys. Can I do the finger on the show?
Yeah. You can do whatever you want.
It's like that. That's the finger. I didn't want to go like, hey, like that. Because I felt like that would be like me being the aggressive one. Mm-hmm. And I'm not aggressive. So why would I start something? Or why would I make
and
a person
And also like
think
giving
I'm
it attention.
A, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why would I address it? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's from 11 until my age now. I just, you know what I mean? It's been happening to me and I never knew how to deal with it. And then like 1 week in the ring with Chavo and I just was like, anytime someone catcalled me, I just literally go like that. You know what I mean? Just so they know that I'm not into it.
Yeah.
And so this amazing thing happened the other day where I was on the street and I was walking down Sunset going to my regular coffee place. It's actually a matcha place. And this big truck came by and this guy in a van in this huge truck was like, hey lady, and like was kind of sticking his tongue out at me in this really gross way, and you know, it wasn't like, I don't know what he thought was gonna happen, but I just was like I just went like this to him, like that, you know, and this lady in a car was turning the corner and saw it all happen and she went like this to me and she went
oh,
like that,
like, and good for you.
And I was just kind of like, those are a bunch of things that wouldn't have happened a few months ago.
Ooh.
You know, like me going like this so casually, it wasn't like I had to go, wait, am I, and then I did it by the time the guy was gone. Like I really did it in his face and he was just kind of like, and the lady giving me that support, that's also something that just means the world has just changed. Like we're all totally supporting each other in it and releasing all this fear and releasing all this stuff about like what the right and wrong thing to do is. It's not a gray area. It's about consent.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't consent for that, like if that's not part of what I'm consenting to, then you can't really do it. You know what I mean? Like that's the vibe.
Totally.
Yeah. So
oh my gosh. Well, Glow undoubtedly is a fabulous addition to your plethora of things that you do. Just continuing on with this whole female empowerment vibe that you do so well, Mariana.
Thanks,
all of your
man.
Work, all of your stuff is like, you know, I'm a fan. So
I love you so much. It's always fantastic. So amazing to talk to you. I feel like you get it all.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I feel like I get it all too. I love it. I am on board with all of it. It's fantastic. And thank you so much for coming and talking to us today.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody check out Glow Season 2. Check out Bitch, the film. Mariana, tell everyone where they can find you on all your social media.
I'm really easy to find. Mariana Palka is just my everything. So you can find me anywhere and let us know what you think of the film.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I, of course, am your host, Blake V. You can find me on all social media at Blake V Media and on the blog at BlakeV.com. Thanks so much. We'll catch you guys next time.
Bye.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.